Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, parenting college-age kids, really parenting any kids, is certainly challenging. But when they're entering college, that's that fine line between really truly being an adult and kind of still being your kid, calling up, Mommy, I need something, or can you put a little money back in my account? You know, there's a whole lot of things that go into parenting college-age kids. My guest is Dr. Linda Reed-Chasiakos. She is a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine. So, Dr. Reed, parenting college kids. First, what are some of the most important things that we want to make sure to think about as parents when our kids are like 17, 18 and above?
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm going to start by saying that both as a pediatrician and as a parent, we never stop being parents. They will always be our children, even if they're all grown up. So one of the things that we have to realize is that these years are very, very critical. Although they seem all grown up, their brain is still developing, often well into their 20s, so that their decision-making processes, their ability to critically think, to use good judgment, may not be as developed as their physical appearance. So we still have a job to do as parents to help them get through these very exciting and wonderful years safely and securely.
So do we want to communicate adult to adult or still parent to parent? I mean, because some parents at that point try and be buddies. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to want to talk to me, so I want to be their friend, someone they can trust.
Well, I think it has to depend on the young adult. Some teenagers developmentally are not ready for an adult-to-adult relationship. There's still a role for a parent to be a parent. Making a decision about what a teenager is going to do as they're going to college, helping them guide their selection, which college are they going to go to, which is the best fit for them, which has the best academic program, which has the best social environment for them. These are areas in which a parent can be a mentor rather than a buddy. As a child develops and becomes more experienced and more mature and more comfortable, then that's where the parent can take the cue and step back, but still stand by. There's an expression that's been used recently, which is called helicopter parenting, which is one in which parents have been perceived as hovering over their children, as being over-involved. I like to think of a helicopter as actually a good tool if it's used appropriately, which means that if a student needs more supervision, the parent can be there to help. If the situation is under control, then the hovering helicopter can pull back a little bit and stand by to be available as a sounding board, as support, as caring, as a social connection.
Well, and as we want to be the sounding board, we have to work on the non-judgmental part of it all because, you know, Dr. Reed, kids aren't going to talk to us if they think we're judging them. And as you said, their brains are not fully developed yet. So they always think we're judging them.
Absolutely. And that's a very natural reaction. But they're also, as they're exploring new environments and new pathways, they're also judging themselves. And some of that they kind of project onto us. Our expressions of caring can sometimes be seen as expressions of being too directive or too intrusive. I think it's very important for us to maintain those lines of communication open, though. Young people's perceptions can be sometimes differently informed than what the reality is. I'll give one example. The American College Health Association does a National College Health Assessment Survey. And one of the things that they look at is what we call social norms. In other words, students may go to college expecting that they and their peers will engage in certain types of behavior at a certain level. And the reality is that the types of behavior that they're thinking are going to happen don't really happen. I'll give you one example. For alcohol use, for example, the National College Health Assessment shows that actual use of alcohol runs about half of all students in the college population. But the amount, there are people who have never used, at least a quarter of students have never used alcohol. But if students were asked what they perceive, in other words, what do they think their peers are doing, they would say as few as one in 20 students don't use alcohol. So in essence, they're perceiving that almost 100% of students are using alcohol. Almost 75% of students are smoking. Almost 75% of students are using marijuana, when in reality, the numbers for cigarette smoking are less than 20%. The numbers for marijuana use are less than 20%. So these misperceptions are where we as parents and then also as college administrators and educators can help students understand that habits that might be risky, that might cause some potential health risks and could create obstacles to academic and social success aren't really as prevalent as the students might perceive.
Now, you know, when children are getting ready to go to college and they want your parental assistance when it's, of course, buying, you know, laptops, cars, when it's financial, but as helicopter parents or not helicopter parents, where do you draw the line in helping them prepare their essays, prepare their interviews, get themselves ready, wear the right clothes? You know, if we're supposed to let them sort of be adults and spread their wings, but yet maybe they don't know how to conduct an interview.
Well, I definitely think that the role of mentor is one that we can begin to adopt as parents. A mentor is someone who helps guide you in learning. And mentors work, it's not just a parent-child relationship. It's a relationship with someone who has some advice or knowledge and is sharing that with someone else. So I certainly think as far as interviews are concerned, that the mentoring role is very, very helpful. Now, certainly there are a number of resources available on the internet that also can speak to teenagers about appropriate interview techniques and tips as to how to have a successful interview. The college essay is a challenging question, and I'll have to be honest and tell you why. Ethically speaking, we should allow and encourage our teenagers to write their own essays. Do parents assist their teenagers with college essays, even if it's something like reviewing and providing some helpful feedback? I think that's very likely in many communities. It's not true for all students. Many students who come from underrepresented backgrounds don't have parents who have the experience or understanding to be able to contribute to that, and that may, in some cases, place them at a relative disadvantage. But often students from underrepresented backgrounds can then go to a trusted teacher or counselor to get some advice with reviewing of essays. So I think certainly being, again, that sounding board can be a very helpful mentoring role. Writing the essay for your student, doing it for the student, reliving one's own experiences through one student crosses the line into a more intrusive type of relationship, which is not good either for a parent or for a teenager.
Well, and that's the whole point, is you have to really work on being not too intrusive as a parent, not too much of a helicopter parent, and yet finding that sort of fine line between helping your child get into college, helping them buy all the things that they need and move into their dorm, and it's so exciting, and yet treating them like the young adult that they are, placing trust in them that you might not have done when they were 13, but that you kind of have to do now. And that's really what it's all about. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.